This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, welcome back to a new episode of Roaming Ramadan, Lessons on the Road. I'm still in the UK, in London. But this is really very, very special episode to my heart.
Allah.
With me is
Habibi Sheikh,
a very dear brother to my heart. Allah alone knows how much I love him for the sake of Allah. Akhi Ayman. And subhanAllah al-Azim, I knew brother Ayman from my students back in Perth, and I tended to ignore their calls for me to watch your videos. So every time they say, Akhi Ayman, can we play a video? I say, no, I don't watch these people. Like I don't know why I had a very bad impression without even knowing the man.
You should continue to avoid Akhi Ayman.
No, astaghfirullah. And this is a lesson for us. We shouldn't ever make decision or come to a conclusion without verifying the information. Until Allah, I came, subhanAllah, I was invited to Light Upon Light conference. And guess who was the host? Akhi Ayman. Now what brought me, even then when I knew that Akhi Ayman is with us in the conference, I was like, who's this guy again? Still, subhanAllah al-Azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching me a lesson. Until a very dear student of my heart, Abdullah Yaqut, who is a very special, you know, student, came to me. He has a little bit of disability. I call it ability, but differently. And he told me, I saw your poster. He's following you on TikTok, Instagram. And he said, please, when you meet Akhi Ayman, tell him to send me a shout out.
Allahu Akbar.
And my heart trembled because only then I realized the impact that you're making on youngsters. Then I started watching your videos and I knew that you were a troublemaker. Allahu Akbar.
No.
Habibi, barakallahu feek, jazakallahu
khair. Thank you for having me. Allah, it's a great honor because you've only sat down with mashayikh, then you come to sit down with your, you know, akhuk Ayman.
Habibi, you never know who is better in the sight of Allah.
Abadan, Sheikh.
Allah Ta'ala use both of us and all of us in the da'wah scene to serve his deen.
Just to let everyone know, now I'm in the sheikh's life, unfortunately, I'm going to use and abuse him.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah. I have your number now, sheikh.
So you get some random phone calls. We'll see. He don't know how the Egyptians work, but we'll see, inshallah.
A'udhu bih.
Barakallah.
Don't make me make that comment, sheikh.
Allah barak fi.
Yeah? Let me make the comment.
You comment as much as you want. Like, this is unplugged, uncut, unplanned, whatever you want to say, so long as it's halal. Yani.
The guys from Egypt. The lineage of Fir'aun. We'll go, Sheikh.
Habibi, so I want to deal with that interview differently. I don't want to like use the traditional way of tell us about yourself and so on. But I want you to imagine the old Ayman who is sitting next to you right now. So what would be the first thing comes to your mind? What would you say to the old Ayman? Now being in that position now, Akhi Ayman, the man who's wearing, mashallah, white thobe, influencing people. What would you tell the old Ayman and all those people who have anger issues? What would be the first advice to give? And we'll start with that, inshallah, and then we'll take it from there.
Sheikh, to be honest, the first thing that comes to mind right now while stating this is that remember the destroyer of pleasure. Remember death. And so many of us, when we're in such a rage, in anger, we forget ourselves or what our purpose is. You see, anger comes from the shaitan. So if I had to advise myself as the one that came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Ya Rasulullah, advise me. He said, do not get angry. He said, advise me, Ya Rasulullah. He said, do not get angry. And they were kept on going back and forth. And he kept on replying with the same thing, do not get angry. Mm. Anger got me to displease Allah. Anger got me to displease my parents. Anger got me to displease my soul that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Wow. That's very deep now. Yeah, so how do you define that? Like, elaborate on displeasing yourself.
Displeasing yourself because you know yourself, you don't belong to yourself. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. Yes, we have organs and a heart and a brain to think and a heart to function, the rest of the body. But the reality is, the body gets buried, the soul gets lifted up to Allah and gets accounted for. So what I mean, I've let my soul down because my soul is something that Allah has allocated in every single person and it was created to only worship Allah alone.
Allah.
That is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the youth figure this out, they would begin to start loving themselves and what their purpose is in life.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. That's very deep, Ayman. SubhanAllah. Where did you study, Ayman? Like, you know, did you go to Medina University or Umm al-Qura or Al-Azhar?
I studied in
my brothers
Ahlul
and
Dunya.
No, remember one thing. Wallahi, people who maybe, Ayman, SubhanAllah al-Azim, very humble brother. And he knows where he stands. He said, like, you know, I actually asked him earlier, I want to tell you what we're going to discuss. And he said, you said, no, let it be just natural.
It's natural, Sheikh. What comes from the heart, Sheikh, it reaches the
heart. And that's what matters. That matters. Habibi, I hope that you wouldn't mind if we go a little bit deeper into the discussion. Because what we are doing here, we really, the only intention is to benefit whoever is watching
Inshallah
that maybe was in the past Ayman state. And that's basically your intention why you came to Dawah, is that you want to benefit those people and you want to bring them back. I have witnessed yesterday a father who brought
his son.
And I saw you in the corner, if you remember. And I thought that this brother is actually part of the volunteering team. Then I went like casually interrupting the discussion, but I saw you very, very, mashallah, tabarakallah, giving a very harsh advice to the brother. Then you winked to me to leave. Then I left because you were... So to that extent, people are looking up to Brother Ayman, and we should support him in any way possible.
Well, that means a lot from people of knowledge and people that are above me. And I'm ready to be put in my place. I'm ready to be advised. I'm ready to, as long as it's according to the Quran and Sunnah.
That's it.
If you go today and you decide to make a video about me, cursing me and refuting against me, I would say, what Quran and Sunnah do you know to do this? No one could ever tell me, but Ayman said it publicly, my brother. I've never ever recorded any of my content. The fact of the matter is, I don't have a page that pushes out my content that I record. So if you received a comment, video of myself, of me making a mistake, come to me. Don't make a video, Sheikh, because you can't say, Ayman said it publicly. No, I said it to the crowd that was there. And even after the talk, if I did make a mistake, the mashayikh that are around me, there's always mashayikh there, the imam of the masjid, he will correct me in front of everybody off camera. What makes you, what gives you the right to...
Not only that, Ayman, you are in the public space now. I have a sheikh who usually record videos a lot and post online. And sometimes you record a special video saying that a brother of mine called me to bring to my attention that I read the verse of such and such wrong. The correct verse is this much. And he apologized for making mistakes. So he will create a video by himself to correct himself. You don't have to ask somebody else to go out there and expose you. Those people are working just to expose others. May Allah forgive us all.
Allahumma ameen.
The deep part that I wanted to discuss, Brother Ayman, you told me, you shared with me privately. I hope that this wouldn't, but you said you were behind bars.
Yes, Sheikh.
And your mom, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon her, visited you.
Naam.
And you have observed something that made you decide that that's it. I don't want to go back to that to that past.
So, Sheikh, people say to me, what made you change? What made me change, Sheikh? It's not prison itself. It's seeing my mother in her modesty. People need to understand what hijab is and what modest is. In today's day and age, hijab is just a headscarf. No. Hijab is from head to toe. But when I say modesty, everybody knows that every part of your body is covered with clothing that is modest. My mother came to me in her modesty. A woman of ibadah came to visit me in prison. When I saw her being searched, because she was getting searched to make sure she's not bringing
by people.
When I saw that, I said, I can never let my mother go through this again.
So you decided right there?
I made an oath to Allah, not right there. When my mother left me, I went back to my cell. I went straight into sajda. I said, Ya Allah, I am never going to come back to my old sick and twisted ways. I'm never going to try to displease you. I'm going to fear you to my best of my abilities. And I said to myself, and I'll say this to myself now, do I fear Allah? I don't. I don't fear Allah the way He deserves to be feared. Do I worship Allah? I don't. I don't worship Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped. Why? Because the dunya distracts you. And that, when I realized that's a reality, seeing my mother in that state, I said, never again. And in that situation, my mother was coming to visit me in one prison, coming to visit my another brother in another prison, and three of us was in prison at the same time. So imagine she's going to different prisons.
So painful, of course.
Very painful, Sheikh. Yeah. Why am I going to let my mother go through that?
And how many years do you remember spending actually time with your mom? Because you're outside most
Sheikh,
of the time.
Sheikh, I am grateful. I am grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me to spend 29 years with my mother. And the reason why I should be grateful, and I believe every single one of us should be grateful, is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, he never had a father. So there's no excuses for anybody that's watching. At the same time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Allah. His mother returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the age of 6 years old. Am I not grateful that I spent 29 years of my life with my mother? Why shouldn't I be grateful? I'm grateful. Allah gifted me that.
And despite the fact that you went the wrong way, her impact was still there on you. Like, her presence in your life was still pulling you back to the right track.
100%, Sheikh. I'm going to be honest with you. I was saying this to Sheikh Bilal Asad. He said to me, like, I'm sorry that you lost your loved one. I said, I didn't lose my loved one. My loved one's Allah. My loved one's the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I didn't lose my mother. She's not my loved one. My mother's a backbone that I can never have back. My mother, Allahumma ameen, my mother was a heartbeat and my heart would never beat the same without her. That's something you don't get back. Inshallah, unless you stand in front of Allah.
May Allah reunite you Allahumma with ameen. Her and all of us in Jannat al-Firdaus, Ya Rabbi.
Allahumma ameen.
Habibi, the three regrets, okay? The three regrets that you wanted to advise the youth out there not to even think about. Like, you regret it in a manner that makes you every day think how to pull back the youth from that path. Would be.
Sheikh, my first regret, I'm going to be honest with you. I regret delaying or neglecting Salah. When I was on the roads, you see, there comes times where the roads distract you, you're making money, you got to ride out, chase your enemies, you got to put them in their place, or you got to put other people first, if it's girls, if it's money, if it's cars. I neglect leaving my salah for them. I neglect not thinking about my salah. That's my first regret, Sheikh. My second regret, it has to be displeasing my parents and not realizing that my parents is my best friends in this dunya.
Not taking their advice seriously.
100%, Sheikh. But knowing they are my true companion as a person.
Care for you. Yeah.
It's my parents. My parents know they want good for you and they would never wish bad for you. Your parents might advise you, may come across arrogant or them putting you down, but the reality is they're doing this because they love you. They want you to outdo them in every aspect of your life compared to theirs. And my third regret, which is more important than anything else, is my regret. It's displeasing Allah, Ya Shaykh.
That should be your like top list.
It is my top, but I mentioned it last
to
because
Salah
it remains.
As well, yes. Displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُونَ كَالَّذِينَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those that forgot Allah. For indeed Allah makes you forget yourselves. And we forgot ourselves because we put anyone and anything before Allah. We please anyone and anything before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's my regret, Ya Shaykh.
Allah barak fiqh. You said something today in the speech that really struck me. You said, I don't fear death.
Sah.
My question is, have you experienced death or near-death experience, as they say?
No.
And why today you don't fear death? Because whenever we mention actually that subject, our skin shivers, brother.
No. Okay.
Yeah. We're going into the unknown. Yes, we know that we're going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but have we done enough to
I agree.
You know? So how did you experience any near-death experience and why you don't fear death?
Sheikh, I've been stabbed on two occasions. I've been shot at on three different occasions. Alhamdulillah, by Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and grace, I never passed away. And at the same time, I live with a bag on my stomach right now, Sheikh. So I've been in that situation. And when I say I don't fear death, I don't think any Muslim should fear death. I believe we should fear the state we die in.
Absolutely.
And this is what we need to prepare for. We need to prepare every single minute of the day, like death is walking with us. And he's waiting for you to slip up. There was a time I said to myself, I'm going to act like no one else exists, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paying attention to no one except for me. I said, today I'm going to have this mindset that Allah has forgotten about everybody and is only thinking of me. He's only watching me. Sheikh, I walked and I breathed and I lived and I prayed like Allah is only watching me. By the end of the night, I slept very well. I said, I like this feeling. Let me do it tomorrow as well.
Allah,
I like that feeling as well, Sheikh. Not looking, not spending more time on my phone, spending time with my family and so on and so forth. I had this mindset. Not saying that Allah sees everything. But this is a mindset that I gave to myself just to see how I will carry myself. I did it. But the moment I fell back and I started getting distracted, I realized I loved that feeling.
So you fought for it?
And I fought for it. Mm-hmm. And I still fight for it now.
Alhamdulillah.
And I believe if every single person allocated just one day to just say to yourself, you know what? Let me act like Allah is only watching me other than everyone else. And you would see in your actions, your soul tells you, we got to step up. And you will see yourself.
Allahu Akbar. Here you go, my brothers, my sisters in Islam. I was actually discussing with Brother Amin yesterday about, like, man, you could have died in that process. Like, there are stories we didn't share, we can't share. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and your family and everyone. But you have seen here, despite all these difficulties that the brother went through, Allah brought him back because he was so sincere to make a positive change in his life. And he did. And now he's standing side by side with world-renowned speakers around the world, mashallah, tabarakallah, inviting people to Islam. I was walking with Brother Ayman the past couple of days. Mashallah, the love that the people have for him, the support that he gained from the public is amazing. So I think everyone should stand behind those people who make a change and never to look back into the past, because the Prophet ﷺ told us that al-Islam yajubbu ma qabla, Islam deletes whatever went before it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a sincere tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. Thank you so much.
Allahumma ameen, ya Shaykh. Wallahi,
I know
how pleasure,
busy you are. I love you for the sake of Allah.
Sheikh.
And may Allah together. And inshallah, the mics fall down. No problem.
Yes,
don't worry,
yes.
Habibi.
Alhamdulillah. Hayakallah, Shaykh. Wallahi, it's a great pleasure.
Wallahi, barik feek. And inshallah, we hope and we pray that
Sheikh,
one
just
day,
one last message
before
yourself.
Before you say the message to myself, I hope and I pray, and this is on camera, inshallah, that one day you'll be part of our conferences around the world.
Inshallah.
We have conferences in the Philippines, in Hong Kong, hopefully in Australia, Allahu A'lam. But what do you want to say?
Bismillah. I just wanted to say, Sheikh, do not change yourself. I love you how you are.
I will never change myself.
Please, Sheikh. I love you.
What do you mean change yourself? This is very misleading,
like, as in, like, do not change yourself and how you carry yourself around every single person.
Allah.
Because how you are with me is how you are with every Sheikh. How you are with me is how you are with your kids. How you are with me is how a man, that when he looks at us from a distance, he would say to himself, this is how I want to be when I grow up. A man that is loving and caring for every single person that's around you. And this means
shut up.
He bullies me though, yo. You know, Allah, you don't know.
Barakallah feek. I love you. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. I love you for the sake of Allah.
I love you too, ya Sheikh.